In the studio with me is a team from Oxfam, and we're going to discuss regional efforts to mitigate worsening humanitarian situation, especially the one caused by the current presence of returnees and refugees fleeing conflict in Sudan.
Thanks for having us. My name is Dr. Margaret Muller. I'm the head of humanitarian in Oxfam in Africa, and with me is...
My name is Wimbai Masani. I'm the humanitarian program manager for Oxfam in South Sudan.
You're very, very welcome, and thank you for making the time to come. And I think my first question would really be, what are your thoughts on the current situation here in South Sudan, Margaret?
Thank you very much. It was great to visit our teams in South Sudan and to see the incredible work they are doing together with the communities in a really, really complex environment, as we see South Sudan, and you know much better than us, is a context that has been hit not only by climate crisis and floods as we see it now late rainy season, but also by decades of insecurity, which really have had a huge impact on the population. And what we see now, and what we're very concerned about, that and on top of the complex crisis and the insecurity, there is a worsening hunger crisis and food insecurity that already now has two-thirds of the population in acute food insecurity. And that is a situation that we cannot normalize and we cannot accept. And the fact that we see now that even 50,000 people are in what we declare as IPC5, in a starving situation. So this is for us absolutely unacceptable. And at the same time, we see that international attention and the funding situation is not at par with the needs that we have in the country. Okay. So we're quite concerned.
Before we get into more detail on what you just said, I'll ask you, Wimbai, what are some of the response that Oxfam is currently doing in this case?
Thank you so much. Oxfam has been in South Sudan since 1983, giving various humanitarian response. So we are here since 1983, ensuring we support in any crisis that has been eliminating in this country. So if I'm to talk of currently, where you are referring to the returnees, we have our team that is already in rank, coordinating with other partners that are on ground to ensure we provide services that are needed to the returnees, the refugees, and the third national citizens.
So what are these services?
We are providing wash services, water sanitation, and hygiene promotion activities. We are doing emergency food security, more into multi-purpose cash transfers. We are also looking into protection support, awareness raising, assistance in cash protection, and also seeing how we can support with dignity kids for the women and girls that we are seeing that they need those services. And in all our activities, we always ensure that we are mainstreaming gender, and we ensure our programs are safe to the people that we are supporting, and we ensure also we do no harm to the people that we are serving.
Okay. And Margaret, you said we have a complex situation here in South Sudan. I'm sure you've worked with different countries around Africa. In comparison, what would be your definition of complex?
That's a very good question. Thank you very much. What we observe in the South Sudan, and also in a number of actually neighboring countries of the Sudan that are now also affected by this crisis on top of their ongoing crisis, is that we call it compounding crisis. It's crisis upon crisis and within crisis within crises, right? We have a country like South Sudan where we have displacement, intercommunal conflict, and then the effects of climate change that are in some regions show up as drought in the very east, and in other regions as extreme floods, which now we already call wetlands because we don't even expect the water to subside anymore. So communities have to adapt their way of living and their way of surviving. And then there's insecurity. And then off top of this, we have constant displacement and crises within crises that lead people that already have, let's say, struggled to feed their children in the evening, and then they will take in people that arrive in their communities and are displaced and need a home. So people adapt and adapt again and again. And that is incredible, but also incredibly challenging for communities.
Yeah, it is. I'm just thinking about it as you speak. And what are the ways humanitarian organization can also adapt to effectively respond?
So that is a mechanism that we're working much stronger towards as a humanitarian community, but also as Oxfam, is in order to be adaptive and quickly able to react to the crisis as they come, we need to have flexible and adaptive, in a way, first funding mechanisms, but also teams. So we have, for example, as Oxfam, we have a rapid response mechanism where a team is able to deploy at any moment with a quick response mechanism, as we have now the team sent the team to Renk so that they can quickly respond to the needs there. And that is the same what we aim to have towards crises that we can expect, like the floods. We know when the rainy season is supposed to start and when we can expect.
You plan for it.
Yes, so we need to plan for crises that we can expect, and we need to always be ready for crises that are about to happen. We just don't know yet when and where.
Okay. And Vimbai, tell me, how was it like responding to this crisis? I'm sure you did not expect it. It's one of those that just came out of the blue. What was the experience like? How were you able to, you know, quickly respond?
I think the experience is, as a humanitarian entity, we are already prepared. So we had what we call preparedness plans, looking at the crisis that we foresee, but we also plan for crisis that we are not yet to see. So we have a preparedness plan. What are the crises that might come? What is it that we need to have in place? And how are we going to respond? So for the Renk response, we were quickly able to go that, like Margaret has indicated, we have a team that I don't want to say is on standby, but we have a team that we call a roving rapid response team. That is, any crisis happens now, we are able to deploy them, go and do assessments, inform the management what are the needs, and then we are able to quickly respond. But we don't do it alone. We coordinate with other partners that will be that location that we'll be responding to.
But looking at this particular situation, were there any challenges you faced?
Always in a crisis there are challenges, but I think if we work together as coordinated partners, we are able to support the people in need. So we always have challenges because at times we are not expecting the huge number of people to be coming in. Then you find yourself more people are coming and resources are limited. So you get to know you will need to get more support in terms of funding so that you are able to respond to those needs, because we are already responding to other needs. That is hunger crisis already in the country. So there are always challenges that funding may become to be limited for us to be able to provide the needed resources. Hence, we appeal to get more funding to be able to be prepared and have contingent resources to respond to any crisis that will happen.
Yes, indeed. Funding is always key in these situations. Now, Margaret, there's a team from the Africa office that is here in South Sudan. What is the purpose for the visit?
There are many purposes within one. First, it was for us to, for our Africa director, to meet the country team, to meet the communities, to see what is the situation in South Sudan, so that first she understands really the context and the challenges within this very complex environment, but also can be a strong spokesperson towards the international community, advocating for this crisis and many other very complex crises that are severely underfunded and really lack global attention.
Okay. And are there any plans in place that we probably need to know about coming from Oxfam, especially in terms of funding, scaling up response?
Oxfam has already scaled up their response in South Sudan and East Africa in the hunger crisis, which we categorized as a highest priority for Oxfam in a year ago, actually. So for us, we didn't only declare the Horn of Africa as a drought crisis, but including South Sudan, all four countries, as a hunger crisis, taking into account that these crises are affected both, are happening both due to insecurity and climate change. and really need global attention. So we have scaled up strongly last year, and our country team reports that last year they have only, responding to the hunger crisis, reached 400,000 people, and are aiming to reach even more this year, and have a funding target of 13 million. And we have reached our target last year with 13 million. So we have scaled up strongly last year, and we're aiming to keep that level of support to the community.
Okay, good. Still on you, Margaret. The team is here to visit. What are some of the activities we expect? Is the team meeting the government? Are you going to see what are some of the activities in place?
So we went to Akobo this week, which was very good time and very important visit to see the situation of communities. And also the challenges of our staff. You know, it rained for an hour and already the road was extremely heavy, and then you understand how are things going to be when it rains for 3 days. And to see the challenges that communities cope with, but also the solidarities of communities that have already taken in a number of people returning or arriving from neighboring countries in the last weeks, despite all the challenges they're facing. And since we returned to Juba 2 days ago, we have had a number of meetings. We met with the IRC, we met with the Minister of Humanitarian Affairs, we're going to meet the Vice President in the next hours, and met ambassadors, Echo, Ocha. It was a day full of meetings.
Can I ask you, is this your first time here?
No.
Margaret?
No.
Okay. Now, having come back, what have you seen any changes? What is your experience now compared to before? You're thinking about it.
That's always a good question. I see a lot of activities from the communities themselves, supporting each other, and really strong resilience amidst multiple crises and multiple shocks, and a lot of solidarity within the communities helping new arrivals. And that is quite impressive and is something that I'm certainly also taking home with me.
Okay. All right. As we conclude this discussion, Avimbai, just tell us a bit about what plans are in place, especially with more people coming in. What assurances can you give the people?
Assurance that I can give to people is Oxfam is here to support the humanitarian needs of the people affected and the reinternees, the refugees. We are not going to do this alone, but we need to have a coordinated approach, Oxfam, other partners, and the government, to ensure we provide these people the services that they need and help them to be able to adapt with the situation that they have gone to and be welcomed in the communities that they are coming into.
Okay. And Margaret, you are the humanitarian coordinator for Africa. What advice can you give in terms of the comparisons? How best can the humanitarian arm of the government here, but also other partners, work together to better the situation and respond better?
So as humanitarian actors, we're always best when we work together, everyone with their core capacities. So when each organization, be it NGO, be it local NGO, be it INGO, be it UN organization, when each supports each other, fulfilling their mandate, and we complement each other jointly with the government, adhering to each mandate and supporting each other, we are strongest. And what we need from the international community is, especially in the Sudan crisis now, is not to divert the limited and absolutely inadequate funding that we have for the millions of people in need in the South Sudan, but to make available additional and flexible multi-year resources that help us sustainably support communities and strengthening them, and not only helping the drips of the most urgent needs, but really supporting communities on the long run and strengthening their resilience.
Okay.
We need flexible funding for that.
Well, thank you very much. Is there anything you would like to add? All right, good. Thank you so much for coming and making the time to come. We'll definitely keep on top of this and reach you whenever we need updates.
Thanks a lot for having us and have a great morning.
Thank you.
Thanks
you too. Have a great morning. Oxfam there, one of the international NGOs in South Sudan to support where there's need for humanitarian aid. And a team from the Africa office is here. We just had Margaret Muller, who is the Oxfam in Africa humanitarian coordinator, and alongside her was Bimbai Mizani, Oxfam South Sudan response manager.